Wisconsin Republicans are expected to vote at their upcoming convention on a resolution that is in support of legislation that upholds Wisconsin's right under extreme circumstances to secede. That's right, secede the nation, leave the Union, withdraw from the United States of America. What do you think about that? Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, April 17th. We'll talk with a political analyst about what this is all about and welcome your questions and your reactions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. What do you think of this secession proposal that the state GOP is going to consider at its convention in Milwaukee in May? Our guest is Mordecai Lee, professor of governmental affairs at UW-Milwaukee and a former state lawmaker. Good morning, Mordecai.
Good morning, Joy.
To be clear, the Republicans are not voting whether or not they should secede the nation, but you know that they are, you know, the right to secede under extreme circumstances. What's your initial reaction to this?
Well, we could talk about this in terms of the politics of the right wing of contemporary American politics, but I really think we should start at the bedrock of this, which is about secession itself. And I think it's important to say that efforts to secede are an effort to overthrow the Constitution of the United States and, frankly, can be called a traitorous activity. Now, I'm not talking about freedom of speech. Anybody can talk about anything. And, in fact, when there were court rulings back in the 1940s and 50s about communists in America wanting to overthrow the United States, the court was very lenient about freedom of speech. But I think we need to move into the heart of the issue, and that's that the U.S. Constitution does not permit secession. We fought a horrible civil war over this principle to use the phrase of the resolution coming up, an extreme circumstance, which was the issue of slavery, which is about as extreme as one can get if you want to talk about human beings as property. And it was absolutely clear that there was no right of secession. The only way to proceed towards secession would be to promote a constitutional amendment to the U.S. Constitution that recognizes the right to secede, get it passed by Congress, get it ratified by the state, and then try to do it. But otherwise, there is absolutely no option, and it's totally outside the pale.
And it's traitorous, you say.
I would say that anybody who wants to overthrow the Constitution, anybody who takes actions to promote secession, is engaging in a traitorous activity. And I know that sounds strong, and I know we're supposed to, you know, be gentle about everybody having freedom of speech, and I realize that some people don't take this seriously, and they think this is something of a joke about some crackpot, radical right, sort of flat earther concept, but this is very serious. When the U.S. Constitution was ratified and there were the initial threats of secession, going back to when John Marshall was the Chief Justice, way before the Civil War, the Supreme Court enunciated the doctrine that the phrase that began the words of the Constitution, "We the people," and then it goes on. I think it says of the states or of the United States. But he said that that was crucial. It was that the people ratified the Constitution, not the states who ratified the Constitution. They only did it sort of on behalf of the people, and that therefore the states don't have the right to withdraw their ratification. It was a one-way decision.
Well, this particular secession proposal actually advanced through a couple of GOP procedural layers before making it to the ballot at next month's convention. How in the world do you think this got this far?
Well, for that, we probably have to come to an understanding of how the world looks to people who are on the radical right, the far fringes of the radical right, the people who say, for example, right now this confrontation out in Nevada, the people who say that the U.S. government is not a constitutional regime, where they don't have to pay grazing fees because the grazing fees were enacted by a government agency through a regulation, and that's unconstitutional, and therefore they have the right to resist it. So this sort of kind of resistance to the federal government is a reflection of what we're seeing in the Republican Party now. And I think we should emphasize that the establishment of the Wisconsin Republican Party, and especially Governor Walker, have wholly rejected the concept of wanting to secede or being supportive of seceding or wanting to talk about seceding. That they realize the reality of it, that this is, if you'll pardon me, a batty idea. That there's no way that this is permitted, there's no way that this should be taken seriously, and if it proceeds seriously, if anybody actually takes actions to secede, at that moment they are engaging in sedition and they are traitors. And I rarely use such strong terms, but it's really important for us to understand the seriousness of going beyond this sort of flaky talk.
According to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, top Republican officials had hoped to kill this fringe proposal during a meeting of the resolution panel at the Hyatt in Milwaukee on April 5th. Instead, the committee made a few edits to the resolution, and it was adopted on a split vote. So while maybe the top Republican officials, including Governor Walker, are not in support of this resolution, it's on the ballot. Yes,
right. It's going to come up at the convention, and that can lead us into a conversation about sort of how important our state party platforms. And the short answer is not very important. But I think people will be watching this vote rather closely. I think it will identify that there is a very small strand of contemporary Wisconsin politics, Republican politics, that it is going over the edge. I suspect that this will be voted down overwhelmingly and we'll never hear it again. Of course, one wants to treat other people's opinions with respect. Of course, everybody has a right to freedom of speech. But if you inch up too close to the concept of secession, to the point of wanting to overturn the Constitution, that's where it becomes beyond the pale.
Yeah. The Republican Party's convention will be in Milwaukee May 2nd through the 4th. Even if it is voted down, as you predict, Mordecai, it seems to me that Texas and Governor Rick Perry were lampooned for even considering any sort of resolution reserving the right to secede the nation.
You're right, Joy. I'm glad you're mentioning that, because it's important for people who are listening to this conversation to understand that there's something of a history to this concept, and that if I'm remembering right, Joy, even some people had posted on the White House petition window petitions to secede from the United States. Because apparently the Obama White House said that if any online petition got more than, I can't remember what it was, X thousands of online signatures, that they would actually give a response. But they didn't to secession, and properly so. I guess we have to understand that there's a very small segment of the citizenry who believe that the American government is no longer somehow a legitimate government, a constitutional government, that we have any liberties at all, that they have a right to take up arms against the government, even when the government is proceeding in a judicial manner, like serving a court order or something like that, that is one very small fringe of American politics, and they consider it seriously. And I'm afraid that now that it's sort of broken out into the openness, into the legitimacy of a debate on the floor of the Republican State Convention, that we now have to take it seriously as well.
We received an email yesterday from George in Milwaukee, who wrote he thinks this talk of secession by crazy Republicans plays well for Walker. It makes him look like a moderate. Any chance that this resolution was crafted just to help Governor Walker come off like he's not... he's not on the side of the fringe?
Joy, I can't imagine that he has anything to do with it, because I think he knows that this is playing with dynamite. This could ruin a person's political career. So it's not so much an issue of Governor Walker needing or wanting to prove that he believes in the U.S. Constitution. I mean, who thought we would have to talk about if a politician believes in the Constitution? I think there was a small group of activists out in one of the congressional districts that stayed very late for one of the regional caucuses on platforms and came up with this proposal. There weren't a lot of people in the room. Maybe some people didn't quite realize the seriousness of it, and somehow it got through. When the state party platform was revising what would be submitted to the state convention, apparently they just didn't feel that they wanted to bat it out of the ballpark, that they wanted to say, we won't even talk about it, but rather, apparently, presumably, they just wanted to sort of reward some party activists, however extreme their views are, by saying, well, this is the process, and we'll let it come up for a vote.
The Republican Party of Wisconsin is expected to vote on a resolution, a party platform, when it convenes in May, that supports legislation that upholds Wisconsin's right, under extreme circumstances, to secede. That's the resolution. The measure also calls for ending all mandates that go beyond the scope of the constitutionally delegated powers of the federal government. What do you think of this? What questions do you have for our guest, Mordecai Lee, Professor of Governmental Affairs at UW-Milwaukee? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, about 21 minutes past 7 o'clock now on this Thursday, April 17th, talking with Mordecai Lee, Professor of Governmental Affairs at UW-Milwaukee, about this proposal that Wisconsin Republicans are expected to vote on during their upcoming convention on whether the state should reserve the right to secede under extreme circumstances. Let's take a call. Carrie in Augusta is with us first. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, good morning. My first quick comment is I read about this last week on Huffington Post, and I have to tell you, I didn't know whether to laugh or be so embarrassed for our state. But what I wanted to say is I am not, nor will I ever be, a professor of constitutional law. And so I know interpretation of this is very difficult. On the other hand, if you talk about just the right to bear arms, it seems like folks pick and choose the words that they want to follow, and that I find very frustrating because I do know that if you read further, there's quite a bit of detail in that amendment that talks about militia and some other pieces, and that people are interpreting it based on their own needs and how they want it to read.
A reaction to that, Mordecai?
Well, this is really great. Anybody can grab a book or go online and read the U.S. Constitution, and they can read the Second Amendment and come to their own decisions about whether the current interpretation by the courts are right or wrong. But if they would do the same thing as Kerry described and look for a section of the U.S. Constitution or an amendment to the Constitution that talks about the process of secession, they would see that there is no section on secession. There is no process for secession. And in fact, just to build on your intro, Joy, when you give a couple more details, when you said that the resolution calls for working on a law that would then permit secession in extreme cases, any law on secession, whether it would be a state law or a federal law, would be, by definition, unconstitutional. It would be tossed out in court in about 30 seconds because there is no permissibility of secession. So the only way to do it would be to amend the Constitution to create that right, and that's not what this resolution calls for.
Yeah, it calls for supporting legislation that upholds Wisconsin's right under extreme circumstances to secede. And you're saying that there is no right for Wisconsin or any other state to secede.
Right.
Yeah. And this measure goes on apparently to say that all mandates should be ended that go beyond the scope of the constitutional powers of the federal government.
Good. Now we're back on familiar grounds. Now we're back on reasonable political argument, and that some people who consider themselves conservatives argued that the federal government has taken on too many responsibilities, even though one of the last sections of, I think it's the Bill of Rights, one of the last amendments, says that anything that the Constitution does not explicitly give to the federal government belongs to the state.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are political conservatives who build an argument that the sort of trend in government ever since essentially Franklin Roosevelt has been in violation of that. Now, you can make that as a political argument, but you can't successfully make that as a constitutional argument based on the constitutional decisions of the Supreme Court over these decades. Yes, the current Supreme Court is relatively conservative. The current court has been making decisions that would seemingly strengthen the right of states. For example, when it said that states could not be obligated by the federal government to participate in Medicare's expansion for Obamacare. That was a ruling that talked about the right of the federal government to do things versus the rights of states. But still, we're nowhere close to the issue of secession when we talk about that.
Ken in Waukesha is with us. Hello, Ken.
Hi.
Yes, go ahead. I understand that. Do you support the Republican Party voting on this this platform plank?
I wouldn't say support. I would say I'm not against it. And I think that when looking at the direction that our country is going, you know, a lot of us feel as if our representatives aren't representing us. And I just wanted to speak to the professor in that he said that this would be an unconstitutional act. And I would ask him, are any of the laws that have been passed by our federal government unconstitutional? And maybe this is why people are upset and they feel that government's overreaching their power. And to wake these representatives up is by proposing such measures. One thing I would like to speak to is the NDAA of 2011. If he's familiar with that, I would like us to talk about that because I believe that this was unconstitutional as well.
Well, very briefly, tell us what NDAA means.
The National Defense Authorization Act of 2011, where it's legal for the federal government to basically come and not charge you with a crime, pick you up, put you in jail. You have no representation option. You have no legal right to a lawyer. And so, to me, this goes against the U.S. Constitution as well. So,
yeah, and because we're not going to necessarily shift topics here to talk about this other thing, how about people are very upset because our government is doing what Ken thinks are unconstitutional things?
You know, I'm so glad Ken called because he was able to articulate a political point of view that is surely within bounds. And it's surely within sort of the conventions of American politics. And he's taking a conservative position that the federal government in the last few years has been engaging in activities that he thinks go beyond the powers and duties of the federal government. And then he gave us a specific example, and I was glad for that. My answer to reasonable people like Ken and others is that, thank goodness, we've got an independent court system. And courts can declare that a federal law that's been passed by Congress is unconstitutional, is a violation of the Constitution, and that anything that Ken and people of his political beliefs believe is an unconstitutional activity by the federal government, they have recourse to the courts. Now, that said, they might go to court, they might lose. They might have a court say, this is constitutional. And then people like Ken presumably would want to engage in political activity to elect a Congress to repeal that law. But once a court has ruled that something is constitutional, that's the end of the conversation. There is no right to secession because you don't like a law or you don't agree with a law.
Yeah. I mean, it's unconstitutional. You're predicting, and others are predicting, that the Republican Party of Wisconsin will vote this down at its convention next month. But I'm just trying to figure out, a supporter of this resolution who truly, what would a state do? Well, we're no longer part of the United States, and we're just going to, what? I mean, how could you practically, if not, you know, it's not legal, but how would you practically do such a thing?
Well, I think we have to go back to the Civil War, where the states in the South said they did have the right to secede. They engaged in actions of secession, and they created another country. They created another nation, the Confederate States of America, CSA. And they adopted a constitution, and they had state governments, and they had a Confederacy government based in, where was it, Richmond, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
They had a flag, they had currency, they had a foreign policy, they had a navy, they had an army. So theoretically, carrying this to it in the direction that you want to talk about in terms of the tangibles, if in this unconstitutional hypothetical circumstance Wisconsin were to secede from the federal government, from the Union, we would become a country. We would become Canada. And I, apparently some people think that's a good idea.
Well, we'll continue talking with Mordecai Lee, professor of governmental affairs at UW-Milwaukee, a former state lawmaker, talking with him about this resolution on the agenda at the state Republican Party convention in Milwaukee in May. Wisconsin Republicans are expected to vote on this resolution that would assert the state's right to secede under extreme circumstances. What do you think about this? What's going on here? Does anyone really support this resolution? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. We'll check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll be back. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It is 7:37 on this Thursday, April 17th. Should Wisconsin reserve the right to secede from the United States under extreme circumstances? The Republican Party of Wisconsin is expected to vote on this resolution at its convention in Milwaukee in May. And we are talking about why the Republican Party would have such a proposal on its platform ballot. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, talking with Mordecai Lee, who is a professor of governmental affairs at UW-Milwaukee and a former state lawmaker, welcoming your reactions and your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. The proposal says the party supports legislation that upholds Wisconsin's right under extreme circumstances to secede. Mordecai, I want to get back to the phones, but I did want to ask you, unrelated to secession, but I guess it is, that we just heard in state news that Governor Walker, who officially launched his reelection bid this week, would not, when asked by reporters, commit to a full four-year term if reelected, leading to more speculation that he may run for president in 2016. I mean, he can't be happy with this talk about Wisconsin and seceding the Union, can he?
Well, presumably that's one of the reasons why he so quickly disassociated himself from it. He so quickly said that, no, he didn't support it, he didn't want it passed, he didn't support the right to secede. Because while there happened to have been, apparently, some Republican activists in Wisconsin in one of the congressional districts that promoted the resolution, Governor Walker is a very sure-footed politician, and he knows what's in the mainstream, even of conservative Republican politics, and what's beyond the pale. And he knows that no one can run for president by agreeing with the principle of secession. And so I was glad that he batted it down so quickly, and that was the right thing to do.
Yeah, he distanced himself from the resolution, saying that it does not align where most Republican officials are in this state, certainly not with him. But some of his critics point out he should have condemned it.
I guess we'll have to leave that to sort of political gossip and political analysis. But presumably, if he was deliberately not denouncing it, presumably he was not wanting to alienate people, frankly, like Ken. Ken was a very reasonable caller. Ken did not express himself explicitly for or against secession, But Ken talked about how he believed that the federal government has been acting in an illegal and unconstitutional manner. Presumably, if you're a Republican running for president and you're relatively conservative ideologically, you want people like Ken to feel that they can support you. And so there's an understandable political reason for the way he's handling it. Now, things might unfold to the way that he will condemn it. But sometimes it's really hard to see and to predict what happens to these issues.
Yeah. The governor also said that Republicans and Democrats over the years have both had their share of unconventional resolutions. I don't have an example on the Democratic side, but is that right? I mean, why did these fringe things even come up?
Well, there's nothing wrong with unconventional ideas. Presumably, there were years ago Democratic conventions with activists wanting to, let's say, legalize marijuana or perhaps to legalize gay marriage. There's nothing wrong with having an unconventional idea. I think what I'm trying to do in this conversation is to draw the line between unconventional ideas and unconstitutional ideas, ideas that would lead to that support the overthrow of the U.S. Constitution. And so that's why there's a difference between talking about secession and talking about some just sort of oddball political idea.
Gary in Ripon is with us. Hello, Gary.
Hello. I think the single biggest reason that this is coming up now is that we elected a black person as president. And then when his opponents did everything and spent as much money as is possible to bring him down, we reelected him. And then this president went and put through a some kind of health care bill that means that lazy people will be able to now get health care paid for by hardworking people. The combination of all this together is just too much for some people to accept, and this is how they're expressing it.
Well, a reaction to that, Mordecai?
Well, again, we're back in the ballpark. Now we're talking about political analysis. We're talking about political motives. Gary has constructed a scenario that he feels explains why there are some people in the Wisconsin Republican Party who want to talk about seceding from the union. I guess I'd want to counterbalance that with more of a historical perspective, and that's that it's not just, let's say, under the scenario that Gary has mentioned, but over the years there have been extreme political movements, not just about maintaining slavery, but about other issues. When they start talking about secession and when there's no racial issue involved. So secession is sort of the last refuge for extremists, whether or not there's a racial angle or not.
You know, Scott on Twitter says, Rick Perry called for secession and he ran for prez. Corporate media all but ignored it. I thought it came up, but I don't even know if Rick Perry said Texas should secede or if it was one of these resolution things.
If I recall correctly, Joy, and you and I don't remember the details, but Governor Perry, as governor of Texas, had said something that obliquely sounded like, well, if things keep going so bad, then maybe Texas ought to secede. Now, that's not quite the saying as saying, I think Texas should secede, but it did bring up the subject. And if I'm remembering right from Scott's comment, this did become a modest political issue when he was running for president, and people did raise it against him. But it never really overtook his campaign. His campaign failed for lots of other reasons, but I like the example because it does show us that there are people way at the fringes of right-wing politics in America who do want to talk about secession.
Well, you know, Christy Taylor, my producer-director, looked up a quote from Governor Perry, and here it is. We may disagree with our political opponents, but we certainly think they're all patriots, even those who wanted to secede from the union.
Oh,
now, that's
great.
where you might disagree.
No. I'm so glad that she was able to dig up the quote, because it's much more of a mainstream quote than I remembered it to be. And, that's where I would disagree with him. I would say that even though we respect the right of freedom of speech in America, including people saying that secession ought to be an option, that I just want to make it clear that pursuing secession is a traitorous activity. It's an overthrow of the government of the United States and the Constitution of the United States. And therefore, it's, I believe, one of those very few issues that's beyond the pale, one of those very few issues that has really should not assume respectability and deference in American political dialogue.
I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Mordecai Lee, a professor of governmental affairs at UW-Milwaukee, about this resolution that will be voted on at the Republican Party convention in May, May 2nd through the 4th in Milwaukee. Wisconsin Republicans are expected to vote on this resolution that, in essence, supports legislation that supports the right of Wisconsin under extreme circumstances to secede. We're talking about how this came to be and what it means, and welcoming your questions and reactions. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's about 13 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Thursday, April 17th. We are talking with Professor of Governmental Affairs at UW-Milwaukee, former state lawmaker Mordecai Lee, about this proposal that the state GOP will be voting on at its convention in May on secession. And our next caller is Dee in Beloit. Hello, Dee.
Hello. Wonderful show. I just wanted to say this is a great topic. I've been following it very closely. And a couple of things. I have to say that this idea, this notion that they're even proposing is absolutely ridiculous. I feel this is a culture that Scott Walker has created, and this Republican Party of Wisconsin has gone so far to the right. And we have these politicians that are coming in with just ridiculous ideas. I also want to know, have they even thought about what if they did secede? What would the consequences be? I mean, we would then be a country on our own. What would happen then? And what do they mean by extreme situations? I would really like to know that.
Do we know what that means in extreme circumstances, Mordecai?
I think it's in the eye of the beholder. In other words, what one person's extreme circumstances are to another person is merely a shrug. It seems to me that now that this issue is out in the open, it will be interesting, following up on Dee's observation, how mainstream Republican politicians, no matter how conservative they are, handle it. In other words, do they treat it like it's illegitimate and beyond the pale, or do they treat it as something reasonable? And I think this will sort of tell us where the base of the Republican Party is, because we would expect that presidential candidates would have a really great fingertip feel for what the base is thinking.
Yeah, Joseph on Twitter says, what about trade? We would become a third world country, lots of milk and no oil.
Oh, that's a great observation. But Dee also said the same thing about how would things really work out, and things would not work out very well for us. And I think Joseph is right and Dee is right in the sense of that if you give it even 60 seconds worth of serious thought, even setting aside the constitutional arguments that it cannot be pursued, it's not a viable option. If the United States were to break apart and we were to have 50 states or 10 states, everything would be different. It's inconceivable, and therefore, I think it was Dee who said that it's really ridiculous to even think about it seriously, and I think Joseph is making the same point.
Yeah. Well, there are people in other states, not just Wisconsin and not just Texas, talking about secession as well. And For example, there's an area of Northern California and Southern Oregon talking about becoming a 51st state called Jefferson. Well, I guess that's not really seceding. That's creating a 51st state. So, but there have been other states saying, hey, you know, we're gonna split off. This just doesn't go anywhere. And but they're not necessarily brought to court or anything, are they, Mordecai?
No, believe it or not, that's a different circumstance. And for people who are fans of the Civil War, they'll remember what happened to West Virginia. In other words, when Virginia seceded from the Union, the mountain folk in West Virginia said, we don't want to secede. And there was a constitutional process that they followed where they ostensibly, although not really, got permission from the existing state government to recreate themselves into another state. And then President Lincoln recognized it as a kind of a pseudo-legitimate process and then recognized West Virginia as a separate state. So your example about Northern California or any other group that wants to secede from the state but stay in the United States, there is a process, but it involves having that home state permitted.
Yeah. Let's take another call from Dave in Oshkosh. Hello, Dave.
Hi, thank you for having me. I just wanted to say that I think it's really unfair to dismiss the people who support the idea of secession, whether it's in Wisconsin or any other state, as extremists or on the fringes of a political spectrum. And the idea of it being a treasonous activity or to even bring up or suggest such an idea, the idea of that this is against our Constitution in doing so, I think it only supports us in our Constitution when our federal government has hijacked the Constitution and it's been just completely dismissing it on all fronts, on all grounds. This is one of the most patriotic things somebody can do and say, hey, I've had enough.
Yeah, so this is patriotic. It's not extreme, Mordecai.
I'm glad that Dave called. I'm glad that Dave sort of gave voice to the issue that we're talking about. Throughout the hour, I've been saying that everybody has a right to freedom of speech. The Supreme Court said that communists who wanted to overturn the government, as long as they were engaging in just speech and were not doing anything beyond that, were not violating the Constitution. But I still think it's important to say that anybody who believes in secession from the United States is un-American. You know, the phrase un-American was very commonly used by the House Un-American Activities Committee, mostly against the left, occasionally against the right, occasionally against small fascist groups in the United States. But it seems to me that anybody who wants to overthrow the Constitution it is un-American, because that means they are not pledging allegiance to the U.S. Constitution. They do not believe the government is legitimate, and that's why I've been taking such a hard line, even though I hope it's coming across that I truly respect Dave's right to express it as freedom of speech.
And if, as Dave says, the government is doing unconstitutional things, don't we have the judicial branch to check and balance?
I think so. That's American history for the last 200 years, if somebody believes that a law is unconstitutional, that it was passed by Congress but it's unconstitutional. For example, Ken referred back to a section of the latest National Defense Authorization Act. Well, you can go to court. You can argue that that law is unconstitutional, and you have every right to do it. But once the court rules that something is, let's say, unconstitutional or something is constitutional, the only way beyond that is to amend the Constitution. And there is currently, within the U.S. Constitution, there is no process to secede from the Union, and that's what the Civil War was all about.
So there is no way constitutionally for the U.S. Constitution to be changed to allow secession?
Under the current U.S. Constitution, there is no way to secede, and is, in fact, an unconstitutional process, and it undermines the U.S. Constitution itself. Except if people like Dave or other callers were to try to urge Congress to enact a constitutional amendment to permit secession, and then if the necessary number of states would ratify the constitutional amendment. That's the only way to go.
How comparable is this to the situation in the Ukraine and Russia, Crimea's vote to secede to Russia? We have had some listeners on Facebook making this comparison.
I think this is a difficult comparison to make because Ukraine does not have a stable 200-year U.S. Constitutional regime. It's a relatively new country. They were dealing with an area that Russia had given them only about 50 years ago, and where the population was predominantly Russian in origin as opposed to Ukrainian. So I think these are very different circumstances. Let's try to come up with a scenario. Some people in northern Maine say they want to be Canadians or something like that. It's hard to imagine how that it could unfold the way it unfolded in Crimea.
Well, I know that you don't believe that the Republican Party will adopt this secession resolution, but hypothetically, how much would it matter if a secession plank ended up in the Republican Party platform?
I think it would matter a lot in the sense that then it would really light a fire amongst the people who believe in this across the country, and it would become an issue that they would press to every Republican presidential candidate in various debates and various town hall meetings. It would assume a form of legitimacy and reasonableness, and that, I think, will be interesting to watch. But, Joy, I'm pretty sure that it's not going to pass. That Governor Walker would not want that following him around as he's running for president.
Yeah. All right, well, I guess we'll leave it there. you're not expecting Wisconsin to leave the United States anytime soon.
No. I will eat my shoe live on your program if it does.
That's going to show up in a promo, Mordecai. So, all right. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joy.
Mordecai Lee, professor of governmental affairs at UW-Milwaukee, a former state lawmaker, talking with us about this proposal that the Republican Party of Wisconsin is expected to vote on during its convention in Milwaukee, May the 2nd through the 4th, that would talk about Wisconsin's right to secede under extreme circumstances. He's predicting that this proposal will not pass. But interesting to talk about why it's even being voted on. Thanks to Bill Martins and to Robin Sherry and to Christy Taylor for producing and directing this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. We've got a lot of interesting stuff coming up tomorrow on the Ideas Network. Tomorrow after 6, we'll talk about farmers markets in Wisconsin. The season is starting for the Dane County Farmers Market, and others, I'm sure, will be following suit around Wisconsin. We'll talk about the appeal of farmers markets tomorrow after 6 o'clock. Tomorrow at this time, it's Good Friday, and we will talk with a guest from Marquette University about the Pope Francis effect and the mark that the pontiff is making on the Catholic Church. That's coming up tomorrow between 7 and 8. And then it's Friday, and we will talk about the week's news in our Week in Review every Friday from 8 until 9. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.